What has happened here, I think, in the Thucydidean account is that we've had an excruciating blow-by-blow description of both the campaigns and also the decisions being made by the Athenian leadership during these two campaigns in order to illustrate these various lessons that he's been trying to make clear for us. For a start, we've seen that the leadership here has been ineffective because it is split into two camps between Demosthenes and Nicias. On the other hand, the Spartans have been effectively led because their general, Gylippus, and even the Syracusan leader, Hermocrates, both represent a kind of vigorous leadership style that inspires these generally cautious Spartans and Dorians. And underlying all has been the greed of the Athenians, their decision to acquire an even greater and greater empire. We think of it perhaps in moral terms. I wonder whether Thucydides did. For him, it is almost a rule of history that powerful states must seek to increase their power. So it is as if he is saying the Athenians are victims of their own selves. As Athenians, they have acquired an empire because they're ambitious. As Athenians, they will be undone because they will naturally try to increase the size of their empire. So even at this stage of the war, what we're seeing looming over the Athenians is the shadow of Pericles, the man who had warned them, don't try to acquire more territory. The war would in fact continue down until 404 BC, so that in some respects it is a mistake to see the Sicilian expedition as the end of the war. Yet, for two reasons, it has that feel when we read Thucydides' work. One is quite simply that Thucydides died before he finished his account of the war. We know for various other reasons that he lived to the end of the war, but his account breaks off earlier than that. And the second reason why the Sicilian expedition has this feel to it is that in a way it has been the high point of the Thucydidean analysis. It represents a complex blending of historical analysis, trying to tease out the lessons of history, yet presented in the format of a drama and a tragedy involving Athenian characters in conflict with each other, and in a sense, putting Athens on stage. It is the tragedy of the whole city of Athens which is being told here. What Thucydides then leaves us with, I think, is a very potent vision of history in which individuals both express the spirit of their time and the shape, the events of their time. Human beings are part of their time and yet they are instigators and actors in their time. It's a psychological reading of history that looks for the underlying causes that are behind the politicians' excuses. And yet, while it seeks to pull out the underlying permanent laws of history, it's also a history that is alive to the specific opportunities that are lost, the calculations that are made badly. So I think what we're finding in Thucydides is really the origin of the kind of history that we now understand by the term history. That is to say, a study of the past, a study of the events in the past, which will try to understand events within a broader context of history, but will also be alert to the specific conditions, the specific events, the specific decisions made by the human actors within history. The historian then that I read in Thucydides is one who can never quite reconcile the demand for clear understanding, firmly stating scientifically the rules of history, with the other requirement of history, and that is to produce an artful, elegant, shaped piece of work that has a consistency and a structure to it. That, I think, Thucydides couldn't quite resolve, but I admire him in that because it seems to me that that is exactly the historian's dilemma.